and welcome to Useless, a podcast where we take the world's most random and useless knowledge and absorb as much information as possible. I'm Nora Noble.
And I'm Kevin Baumgartner. Each week we pick a different topic and explain it to you.
Together we are a font of useless information that only does us good at parties or mixers.
Now, we're not experts of any kind, least of all in our own fields of work and study. So like you always show to strangers on the internet, take everything we say with a grain of salt.
And hey, maybe one day, you can be useless too.
Kevin, you smell so good.
Thanks. I'm just glad that you noticed. From Virginia, through the computer screen.
Of course, I'd recognize that Terabusi Creek smell from anywhere, even from 484 miles away and through a computer screen.
Well, today, everyone, we want to tell you, our listeners and beautiful best friends, about Terabusi Creek. They're a small batch, handcrafted, homemade business that specializes in creating plant-based formulas to enrich your skincare and self-care routines.
They have products ranging from candles to facial care to bubble bars, even to monthly boxes. And with restocks happening every other Friday, you never have to go too long without your favorite smells. Kevin and I each have a few different products that we absolutely adore.
When Nora and I started this podcast, we had both agreed to never take a sponsorship from a product we don't love or a company who has shady values. So believe us when we tell you that we love Terabusi Creek. They're cruelty-free, vegan, and have strong stances on various current social justice issues like Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ rights.
My current obsession is a dreamy soap bar with lavender, sweetgrass, and a hint of moonbeams. Made with ingredients like shea butter and olive oil, my skin is feeling fine and fresh.
As a skincare connoisseur myself, the Backwood face mask with charcoal, kaolin clay, and tea tree oil leaves my oily little greasy face feeling fresh and ready to take on the world.
And his haters. Support small businesses and your favorite podcast by enriching your skincare routine by visiting terabusicreek.com and using the code USELESS10 at checkout to receive 10% off your entire order.
That is terabusicreek.com, TARABUSICREEK.com with code USELESS10, and you'll receive 10% off your entire order.
And hey, with Terabusi Creek, you can smell useless too.
So that amount of pain, grief, suffering, I'm going to warn you right now, you're going to go, and listeners, prepare yourself. You're going to go through that, but with just like pure what the hell and existential crisis energy. So as much as you get enraged by dolphins, just know that you're going to be that much, but just like staring at your ceiling, wondering why anything exists.
I need you to understand that I am already terrified of space as a concept to begin with. It's too big.
If you have space phobia, I'm so very sorry. Click off. I will not be mad.
I wouldn't say I have space phobia.
I do. I have a tattoo on my leg and I do.
But like if we, within my lifetime, which I doubt this will happen with the way things are currently, but if we ever colonize like the moon or Mars, I will stay on Earth. I do not care if we get caught like in a supernova, like nuclear winter kind of situation and our only escape for like species survival is like the moon or Mars. Mm-mm, my ass is staying here. I would rather deal with a nuclear winter than have even like a 1% chance of being sucked out into the vacuum of space.
Or what if like you guys have to escape because a black hole is going to swallow Earth?
I don't think we would escape at that point.
Well, I'm going to teach you. Before I get started, I would like to know, Nora, explain to me what you know about black holes. What, like, the basic general knowledge.
So, I was a History Channel, National Geographic Channel child, Discovery Same. Channel child. Those are what I watched.
Same.
And I've taken
That's
a couple
why of... we have a podcast like this.
Yeah, it's obvious. Yeah. And I have taken a couple college astronomy courses, but most of what I know about black holes just kind of leaves my brain because I've never needed it for day-to-day life.
it also doesn't make sense. So
yes, I do know, or at least I remember watching forever ago, so I don't know if this is still true, that there's like two different theories of what happens if you enter a black hole.
Oh, that's a whole six bullet point, yeah, baby.
One is about like spedification, where like you have like a moment of like lucidity as you like enter the black hole, and then you like get stretched out or whatever, or yep, you die like instantly essentially, and I'm like, cool, both of those are awful. I know that time acts differently around a black hole, that you can like time slows down. No, it speeds up, but it slows down for you. It's a weird thing.
Both and neither.
Yes. It's a weird, because time is still moving, but the perception of it changes, kind of deal. I hate it. I hate it so much. And I also know that the only way that we can find black holes essentially is by like the halo of around them,
mm-hmm,
because nothing escapes, but there's still that edge of like where their gravity is. And I know that they're also not technically holes, they're just a lot of mass in a condensed space.
So a lot of what you said was not off. Specifically though, I will say that the theories about what happens, you are both correct and incorrect.
Yeah.
It both happens and both does not happen. Holy shit. The end of this is about to get wild. The beginning of this is definitely going to be some just crunchy, like, oh, here's what black holes are, here's blah, blah, blah. But the end, bonkers.
I also remembered that, isn't there one at like the center of our galaxy or whatever that's like 3 million correct times the size of our sun?
Oh, yeah. Stupid. Super great. Love her. So black holes are actually not like inherently bad.
No.
It's only bad if you get close.
Just stay away. Stars don't have morality.
Yeah. Inherently good or evil. I would say they're true neutral. Like, it will spaghettify you and then maybe also not in a separate alternate timeline if you get too close. But other than that, we're just all rotating around black hole, vibing. Absolutely, the planet's on fire. But you know what? That black hole in the center does not care.
Fuck.
Fuck. So the beginning of this, it basically gets more and more wild and crazy as I talk. So as a generalized summary, first of all, my sources, I use NASA.com, space.com, sciencenewsforstudents.org, livescience.com, BBC, space.com again, and BBC, space.com, space.com, space.com. So I want to give you, first of all, like an overall summary, just like a very broad stroked. I need to stop playing with these.
Black holes are in space.
Black holes are in space. That's it. So basically, as you kind of said, black holes are spots in the universe where there's so much gravity and mass that nothing can escape, not even light. So it's not technically a hole. It's more of like a cone shape, because it gets infinitely more and more denser and kind of curves inwards, but it never ends. The thing you learn in Cal, asymptote. It's like an asymptote where it just gets infinitely smaller and smaller and smaller and more dense, but it never ends. It actually bends space and time around it. It literally, like, if you could take the grid of the universe, it would be warped. Like, it's insane. So most commonly happens when stars die. Stars basically run out of gas. They stop having, I think it's hydrogen to helium.
Mm-hmm.
When they run out, and if they are massive enough, which I will talk about a little bit later, they will collapse in on themselves, and they keep collapsing in on themselves so hard that they basically break space and time.
That's sexy. I wish I could do that.
The way to go out is to just absolutely disrupt everything around you. So imagine just like you fall down on the ground and then space and time just immediately shatters.
That's what I want. Iconic. That's hot girl shit.
So you can't, like, people say, like, you can't see into a black hole. You cannot see into a black hole because the gravitational pull is so strong, like, light can't escape. So any, like, pictures or stuff of, like, black holes, which I'll talk about in a little bit, is not actually of the hole because you can't picture it because things physically can't escape. It's just, like, the matter spiraling into the hole, the corona. Corona. And in general, so if a star dies and it has enough mass to create a black hole, the total mass of that black hole will be approximately the same as the star that created it, which is just interesting to me, but infinitesimally smaller. So that's just the general thing. Very broad surface seventh grade science class. Now I'm going to get into a little bit of like crunchy dates. The, you know, the people aren't super important in this. Don't get like caught up in like the people. I leave the people in just, you know, as like a service to their, I don't want to do them a disservice for their discoveries, mm-hmm. but
I just want to say, crunchy space.
Crunchy space. Space by crunch. So what's more important though, not even the dates, but just like the amounts of times and like the timeline. So in 1783, like right after America was founded, Alexander Hamilton times, there's a British scientist named John Michell, M-I-C-H-E-L-L. He notes that he thinks that there could be something where light can't escape from if there was an extremely massive object that had a high ratio of mass to volume, that light couldn't escape from it. And everyone's like, okay. And then they don't talk about it for 200 years.
Well, yeah. We just found a country like, what was it, 1781, you said?
Yeah, but this was in Britain. They were already colonizing and terrorizing by then. Oh, they had scientists.
So everyone was like, we're too busy fucking up this bit of mass. We will yes. worry about that bit of mass later.
And then nothing really happens until 1916. So literally like 150 years-ish. Just whatever. Whatever. Thanks, John Michell. Don't care. Didn't ask. And then in 1916, the one and only Mr. Albert Einstein says, actually, I think I do care. Huh. Interesting. He, you know, creates like math as we know it in quantum physics and entanglement, which the more I think about it, the more my head explodes.
Yes. In 1961, math was invented by Albert Einstein, and now all of us have to do taxes.
1916.
In 1916, math was created.
Well, if any of you are failing stats or pre-calc or, I don't know, AP Calc AB, you can go back in time and fight Albert Einstein. Actually, John Michell. So 150 years later, Mr. Albert Einstein kicks down the door like a GIF of Big Bird and says, actually, I'm going to think about space so hard that it's not going to make sense anymore. It makes like a theory of relativity, E equals MC square, all of that, which like the more you look into it, the more it doesn't make sense. Like everyone says like, oh, E equals MC square, but no one actually knows what that means. Energy equals mass times the speed of light. Okay, yeah, sure, squared. Sure, awesome. What does that mean? No one knows, because the more you look into it, the more deranged this man was. He's a genius. Like,
oh, yeah.
The things that he's saying is so true, but how do you just figure out, you know what? Space is crazy. And everything is quantumly entangled. Haha. What? Whatever.
Did he also start string theory, or was that a later thing?
So that kind of gets into like quantum entanglement, and like, it doesn't super relate to black holes. You know what? I'm going to do a quick Google search.
Because like entanglement, I mean, my brain thinks string theory. I didn't know if that was also him.
Who invented the strings? It was Albert Einstein.
Sweet.
Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity. The other is quantum mechanics. Because he did like the real life stuff. He was like, yeah, gravity affects space on a macro, big time space level. But also he was like, and also it affects things at the micro level. And shit's fucked. It's fucked, guys. Like, you're going to need to drink some absinthe to really get through this, because you don't get it. So Albie Einstein does his thing. There's also a guy, which I think is interesting that we don't really hear about him, called Karl Schwarzschild. He was a German astronomer. He was currently serving in World War I and said, actually, Einstein, you're great, like, love you, but he solved a solution, not a solution, but like he didn't fix his stuff, but just like all of Einstein's stuff was math. So he basically posed a math, like a solution to one of his equations, stating that if like the relativity relations, his equations applied to a single spherical mass, there were points of that would equal infinity. So the mass would equal infinity. So black holes still, 1916, still not really known. All he did was Albert Einstein was just like said, hey, mass can and gravity affect space. That's crazy. And a bunch of other stuff. And then Carl Schwarzschild basically said, okay, so if that mass was a sphere, we could make that mass and the bending infinity. Crazy. I don't know what it means, but like, that's crazy, right, everyone? And everyone's like, okay, shut up, Carl.
What really pisses me off is that the base of like everything is math. Like everything comes down to math.
Right.
And I hate it. I'm gay. I can't do math. I'm the driving gay. I can parallel park. What can you do, Einstein? Oh, you got a chalkboard. I can fucking parallel park without help.
What if I'm straight and I can't do math and I also can't parallel park? So what is that? What do I do? Because I'm straight and I can't do those things. So after Carl Schwarzschild did his thing, a guy named Martin Schmidt discovers the first quasar. A quasar is just a generalized term for a supermassive and super, super far away celestial object, but it emits crazy high amounts of energy, and it usually looks like a star, but it's like specifically it emits so much energy and light, but it's also very far away and very, very massive in comparison to things like in on a space, you know, scale. So then in 1964, a guy named John Wheeler was the first person to say, we're going to call these little babies, these little theoretical little shit boys, black holes. He was the first person to coin it. John Wheeler, we love you, but I swear to God, I hate it so much. So fast forward a little bit, 1972. Again, the dates are not super important, just kind of the amount of time that passes. So, you know, we started in 1783 where a random guy in Britain was like, you know, I think maybe light couldn't escape. Here we are 200 years later. We still don't have a good answer. 1972, Stephen Hawking.
Our boy.
Kip Thorne. Stephen Hawking said, hey, Kip Thorne, I'm going to make a bet. And Kip Thorne said, okay, little bitch. I don't know. He probably didn't say that, but maybe. There was this thing called Cygnus X-1, which sounds like Elon Musk's child's name.
It does.
There were X-rays being emitted from it, and they were like, that's weird. And Stephen Hawking said, hey, Kip Thorne, I bet that's not a black hole. And Kip Thorne was like, okay, I think it is. And they made it a bet. I couldn't find out what they bet, but apparently it was a super famous, big-time, well-known thing. And it was never proven. They believe that Stephen Hawking was wrong, which is a sentence that hurts to say.
Yeah.
But they never proved really that it was a black hole, but they like kind of knowing what we know now, like in the 90s/2000s, they're like, okay, this is like in the 90s or like 2000, they basically said like, okay, for what we know now about black holes and like what we saw from Cygnus, it was probably a black hole, Stephen Hawking, idiot. God, so dumb.
No.
I say as I literally got a 24 on my math ACT. So yeah, it was never really proven. And then in 1974, only 2 years later, we're almost done with all the dates, I promise. Bruce Balick and Robert Brown were doing some studying, doing their little hot girl science shit, and found that there was radio waves from the center of our galaxy, the Milky Way. It's called Sagittarius A. And it's now believed that that radio waves is a supermassive black hole that has a mass 4 million times that of our sun.
I'm sorry, you said supermassive black hole, so the only thing I care about now is the song from Muse.
Yes.
That was also used in the first Twilight movie.
And that theory, so that theory was done by Bruce Balick and Robert Brown in 1974. That theory was confirmed by the Event Horizon Telescope in 2008. So we know now in the middle of our galaxy is a supermassive black hole that has mass that is more than 4 million times that of our sun. And is just the center of our galaxy.
She's keeping us together. She's the hub of the wheel. She's got literally the weight of the galaxy on her shoulders.
I mean, it's literally everything we rotate around. And yes. It's not, you don't get sucked in unless you're past the event horizon. So like, it's kind of like a star. Like we don't get sucked into the Earth's or the sun's fiery pits of hell.
Yeah.
We just kind of rotate. Yet. We have, little seasons and stuff because of it. So That was in 1974. Fast forward to 2016. That was kind of like the history of it. And then it was just kind of like, meh, nothing really juicy happened about black holes. Whatever. That we know they exist now. They make radio waves. No one really knows why. Shit's scary. It's fine. So, and then in 2016, it was detected that there were gravitational waves released. They think that it had to do with the collision of two black holes.
Hate that.
And it made waves of gravity that they could see leaving the center of where these black holes collided and physically moving space, time, and the fabric of our universe in a wave formation.
Okay, so are these like water ripples where it'll die out eventually, or are we going to get hit with that shit?
I think it would have to die out. I don't know. I don't really understand how waves can exist if like space is a vacuum, but also gravity. I know gravity's not, well, yeah, but also like gravity's not a matter, but like,
yeah,
they found waves of a non-matter substance that was rippling out and affecting space-time in a wave-like pattern when two black holes decided to kiss. So I don't know what that means, and I don't want to know. I don't understand it. I tried watching a YouTube video. I don't get it. No one gets it. It's all just kind of like, huh, that happened. I don't know why, but it happened. And that's like our top fucking scientists in America saying that. So that's cool. And then in 2019, the Event Horizon Telescope pictured a picture of a black hole for the first time ever. And NASA finally released it. I just sent it to you in the Discord chat.
Yeah, what's her name again? Because I know she also got like doxed off of Twitter.
Oh yeah, she got named after a female scientist, and then the incels were so mad about it that they...
Because it was a female scientist who did this.
Yep, yep. So it's the Event Horizon Telescope, just to kind of go into what that is, because I mentioned it a couple times. Oh, the picture, by the way, is super underwhelming. We all thought it was going to be some like cool, really crisp thing. It's literally just a blurry red blob with like a black hole in the center, but it's so interesting that like that will bend space and time.
Yes.
And you've also physically can't take a picture of the center of the black hole because to have a picture is like light returning back to the lens, but that doesn't happen because the center of a black hole light doesn't come from. And it says, so in the article I'm reading, it says that like from the perspective, super Sagittarius, it's Sagittarius A star, but I'm just going to call it Sag A. Mm-hmm. Sag A's event horizon is so small that it's the equivalent of being on Earth and seeing an orange on the moon. Or it's being able to read a newspaper sitting in the streets of Los Angeles while you're sitting in New York City. That's the equivalent of how small the event horizon is for the black hole. So it's like even crazier that we could get a picture.
So I'm kind of confused by that.
Mm-hmm.
So like we're talking distance, right? So like the yes. event horizon, you would have to be like the edge of the black hole would have to be like in LA, and you yes. would be in New York.
And it would also be the size of a newspaper. So if I'm in New York and I hold up a newspaper,
yeah,
and you face me in LA,
yeah,
you have to be able to read the newspaper. So that's like the relative size of what we're talking about.
That still doesn't make sense to me size-wise, though.
What do you mean?
Is it the size of a newspaper, or is it the distance from New York to LA?
No, that's like, it's like a comparison of what they're making. They said like being able to see that is like being able to see an orange on the surface of the moon.
Okay. I thought like, that was like the size of the event horizon.
No.
I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
That's from our perspective. So like if you had enough vision to see how tiny, tiny, tiny that newspaper would be from that far away,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, if we were able to, you know, have a super mega camera that had enough megapixels that we could zoom all the way into the moon, it would be like zooming all the way into an orange on the moon.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely bonkers. So this, my dear friends, that is the end of the dates crunchy portion. And as you can kind of tell, it got a little more bonkers as we went on. We're going to talk about the types of black holes because there are multiple types. We can't just have one. So there are three main types. There's stellar black holes, supermassive, and intermediate. So a stellar black hole is when a star, like I said earlier, a star burns through all of its, converts all of its hydrogen to helium and is just like, well, I'm alive, but I'm dead. It just collapses. And it collapses into itself. So if it's the size of normal, like any size up until the sun, three times our sun's mass, so zero to three times the sun, when it collapses and runs out of helium, it'll actually turn into a neutron star or a white dwarf. I've also seen that up to 10 times the sun's mass, I think, is more accurate. So from zero mass to 10 times the sun's mass, it'll turn into a neutron star or a white dwarf. A white dwarf, I believe, is up to like the three, and then like three times the sun to 10 times the sun is a neutron star. So a white dwarf is, it will basically shrink. So the star will burn up. It'll shrink to have the mass of the sun, but it'll be the size of Earth.
Well, doesn't it also like burn cooler than the sun?
I'm glad you asked. So in the Milky Way, like 97% of the stars of the millions, billions of stars in the Milky Way will be white dwarfs when their hydrogen is done. So the hydrogen stops. It'll first become a red giant, which basically it gets super huge and starts burning. Now it has a shit ton of helium. So it gets massive, like gigantic. But it's not very massive. So volume-wise gets ginormous, but mass-wise, it will start fusing helium, and it will start turning that into carbon and oxygen. So then, after it's not hot enough to keep doing that, which is 1 billion, with a B, Kelvin, as a reference, what is the boiling point of water in Kelvin?
In Kelvin? Or I don't know what it is in Kelvin.
In Kelvin, the boiling point of water is 373 Kelvin. So after it gets cooler, just by a little bit, of 1 billion with a B, the red giant goes, meh, I can't do this anymore. Sheds its outer layers. Those just go away, turn into space dust. And then the little baby inside, the size of the Earth, turns into a white dwarf. It's full of oxygen. What's really interesting that I found just blew my mind, these white dwarfs are constantly losing energy, and they're getting cooler and cooler and cooler. They will eventually turn into a black dwarf. However, the time that it takes to do that, to get from a white dwarf to a black dwarf, is longer than our universe has existed.
Yes, and I hate that. How do we know?
13.8 billion with a B, years. I literally have written down, how do we know? I'm glad you said that, because I have the same thing. How do we know? That's how long it takes, approximately. There are some stars that are down to a couple thousand Kelvin. What? 13.8, like, I want you to know. So the difference, people, and this kind of goes into society trademark, the difference between a million and a billion, people don't understand. So if we talk about like a million, this is the very, when people talk about like, oh, eat the rich, blah, blah, blah. This is what gets used all the time. I'm not trying to go into a socialist tirade, but this is the most like common comparison of a million versus a billion. So a million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds with a B is 31 years.
I thought it was 32. It's 31.
That's according to Diffin.com. A million is 11 and a half days. A billion is 31 and three-fourths years.
So they're rounded up, 32.
So take that times 13.2.
No thanks.
And it's not even like, that's seconds. So if we take years and translate that to a billion?
No thanks.
No thanks. No thanks. So, although it is a very hot boy, like real hot girl shit, and it's between like 3 and 10 times the mass of the sun, has a lot of mass, has a real fat ass.
So they're turn into a new...
What?
You said they have a lot of mass, so they're Catholic.
God, I said fat ass and you said Catholic, and I'm like, is it canonical that Catholics have the fattest asses? Have a lot of math for Catholic. I hate it. I hate it. God, I hate it so much. That was so good. It's like a pun that I hate. and it's great, and I love it, and I want to fight you. So if it's 3 times the sun to 10 times the sun, it'll actually turn into a neutron star, which has a radius of 18 miles. There's a star that's only that big, but it's a massively dense, and it's just made of neutrons, nothing else. Neutron star is like 3 times to 10 times. There's so much mass that it just gets rid of all of its electrons, and all the neutrons just hang out in an 18-mile radius. But it's, if you could take a teaspoon to space and live and go to a neutron star, mm-hmm. and scoop up a teaspoon of a neutron star, it would weigh more than all of Earth's oceans combined. A teaspoon.
But what if there's no gravity? Then how much would it weigh?
Well, okay. The mass, whatever. We're not going to get into that. You know what I mean. Probably with Earth's gravity. If you could take all the water on Earth in all of our oceans, you know how much shit's there. That's terrifying.
No, we don't. We don't know how much shit's there. That's why it's
How do they not know what they don't know? I don't understand that. They say, oh, this percent of the ocean is not explored. How do they know the percentage if they haven't explored it? Oh. So yeah, neutron stars are scary. And all of that, those are alternatives to black holes, basically. So that was just kind of not super related to black holes, but that's like, okay. So if it's...
It's their cousins.
Yeah, it's their like cousins of like, okay, you didn't, sorry, you did not get a fat enough ass. You can't be part of us and bend matter.
Sachet
you
have to be, away.
Yeah, sachet away. You have to, you know, go through lots of metamorphoses. However, once you get over 10 times the mass of our sun, it will just ruin lives. And that's what a stellar black hole is. So if it's over 10 times, all of the gas and stuff, instead of making a different star, it just collapses and collapses. And then it just doesn't stop, and then it ruins lives and bends space and hurts. Number 2 is a supermassive black hole. That is, if we take our sun and multiply its mass by millions to billions, take a star that big, that sexy, that hot, it's the center of like every galaxy we have, like every fucking galaxy that we know of, is the center of it is a supermassive black hole, which has more mass than a million to a billion of our sun. Which is like, how many Earths can you fit into the sun? A lot?
Too many.
Well, none, because they would disintegrate immediately.
Yes.
You can fit a million Earths into the sun. Those black holes just form. No one knows. No one knows why. They just happen. There's 4 theories, but we don't really know. We've never seen one form. We don't know why. We think it could be from a bunch of tiny black holes merging.
That's hot.
So a bunch of tiny black holes, like, ignore COVID restrictions, have a party, and then create one big Power Rangers Megazord. Space, you know, collapses. They think maybe just large gas clouds suddenly are like, there's too much here, so we're going to just coalesce. Just huge, massive, gigantic, fat gas clouds go, okay, now that everyone's here, let's form.
God just ripped some sweet cotton on his galactic grape.
God hit like one too many times and all of a sudden space is tearing apart. A third theory is that there's a cluster of stars just collapse at the same time that are kind of near each other and they all just kind of suck each other in. Or, my personal favorite, too much dark matter just gets together. Yeah, we know dark matter exists because of gravity, but we can't see it. We can't observe it. We can observe its gravity. I don't know what that means. I don't know how you name something dark matter. I don't know. So, and then an intermediate black hole. It's kind of boring. It's literally just like a middle-sized black hole. It's like in between a stellar and a supermassive. In 2018, the Event Horizon Telescope, which also I didn't really talk about, just really quick, it's like a 200 scientists just kind of got together and make like, from all different countries, funded by all these different places around the years or around the world. It's kind of all of their like brain power put together in one big thing. It's not just one telescope. It's like a consortium of telescopes. It's just a bunch of the best space minds put together in a room to see what happens. Like monkeys with typewriters making Shakespeare, but...
You put enough scientists together, eventually we'll recreate God.
Literally. Because one of the theories is that like you can travel in time through these things.
Yep.
So if you can travel in time, I think I can meet God. And also you die but you don't die.
Mm-hmm. Either way, you're gonna meet God, either through time travel or death.
So in 2018, the EHT, Event Horizon Telescope, found 10 galaxies that emit X-rays like it's a black hole. they think that these intermediate galaxies might be the center of dwarf, or these intermediate black holes might be the center of dwarf galaxies. So little tiny baby galaxies have their own little tiny baby center black holes.
Cute.
Intermediate, bigger than a stellar black hole. But we don't know. That's the thing. I have that so many times. We found 10 galaxies in 2018 that emit X-rays like a black hole, like these dwarf galaxies. But we don't know what's in the center. We think it's a black hole. We think. Let's talk about some quantum physics, shall we? So this is kind of I don't know if quantum physics is the right word. This is just like how black holes work, we think. And just the real crazy things about black holes. And then after this section, we have a section called, and I quote, fucked up theories that I don't understand, but holy shit. Before we get there, though, let's talk about quantum physics. So black holes have three layers, an outer event horizon, an inner event horizon, and the singularity, TM. Outer event horizon, easy. You know when they say event horizon, they say it's the point of no return? That's the outer event horizon. So basically it's like a point that the gravity is, it's like someone described it as a perfectly unidirectional membrane. So once you hit that event horizon, you're not getting out. The gravity's so strong, no matter what happens, I'm going to put a star next to that for a couple bullets down. No matter what happens, asterisk, you can't escape, asterisk. That's the event horizon in a nutshell.
I hate it.
So to get to the second most complicated part is the singularity. We're going to skip over the inner horizon for a sec. The singularity, that's the point that mass is infinite. Infinite hurts my head already, but it's like it exists, but it doesn't exist because like it gets infinitely more massive. So there's not a point, theoretically, of the singularity because it goes on forever, where mass gets more and more and more. Like it doesn't end. It keeps going forever, infinitely. But the singularity is that point, x equals infinity.
For our listeners at home, I'm just glazed. Like my eyes are just glazed.
This hurts. Also, as a quote from the website I got it from, I think space.com, space and time also collapse at the singularity, which exists but doesn't exist. Because infinity theoretically doesn't exist because, you know, infinity means it never stops. But the singularity is when mass and density equal infinity. At that point, space and time also equal infinity and just don't exist. But they do exist, but they don't. It collapses. It shreds the quantum theory out the window. And then let's talk about my little baby boy, the inner event horizon, known as the Cauchy horizon.
The what?
Cauchy, C-A-U-C-H-Y.
Cauchy?
Cauchy horizon. So there are two types of subtypes of black holes, rotating and non-rotating. Very simple. Rotating rotates, non-rotating doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think rotating black holes happen when a star that is rotating collapses. The black hole just continues to rotate. In a non-rotating, stationary, little, still black hole, the outer and the inner event horizon are the same thing. It's simple. Duh. I mean, gravity just stops, you know, so intense you can't escape. And then it gets to infinity. Duh. That's all it is, idiot. However, in a rotating black hole, they think it's formed, like I said, when a star is rotating and then just collapses but keeps rotating. So the black hole also. The inner, called the Cauchy, C-A-U-C-H-Y. It's the website that I looked up says, cause stops equaling effect. The past stops determining the future, and time travel may exist. So basically, it's like no one really gets it, as with a lot of things. But there's like the outer event horizon. Like if you picture a black hole as a witch's hat, and like an upside down witch's hat, but except the tip never stops. But so the part where the flat part of the brim starts curving inwards, that is the outer event horizon. That's like, once you get there, you're getting sucked in. Sorry, goodbye. The inner, the Cauchy horizon, is somewhere in the point. Just somewhere. It's not, we don't know if it's real. We think it's real. We don't really know. It just kind of says, it has given mathematicians headaches for decades. I don't know. If mathematicians don't know, I don't know. I just think it's interesting because it makes no sense. It's called the Cauchy horizon. It's time stops existing. The past does not determine the future. Cause and effect are not related anymore. Haha. So, remember how I kept saying nothing can escape? This isn't a rotating black hole specifically. Rotating black holes are the ones that have this mythical Cauchy horizon, that no one really knows what it does, but we know it exists. Isn't that great? The best minds on Earth say, Yeah, and that's the point that they say that time travel may exist in that time, because time gets real wibbly wobbly, gets very, you know, what's that thing from The Good Place? What do they say?
Oh, Jeremy Baramy.
It's very Jeremy Baramy at the Cauchy horizon. So, in specifically in a rotating black hole, which has caused so many issues, apparently, space and time rotate with it. And that causes something called frame dragging, where the literal fabric and existence rotate with it. So, you know, like those, the way I imagine it is, you know, those videos where it says, okay, stare at this dot for 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you stare at the wall and your wall like spins because your eyes. That's what I imagine it, but like space and also time. How can time drag? How can time rotate? Time is not physical. Time is a construct, right? Like,
are we sure?
See, that's the thing. That's the thing I really don't get, because like time is not a real thing. Time is just something that like
we perceive. Humans,
yeah, we perceive. It's just like, it's not real. It's not physical. But Einstein says, actually, time is a real thing. But it's not like a physical, you know, something you can touch. It's like our perception of how we are perceiving things and the order of events is rotating. Can you tell me what that means? Because I don't get it.
I'm just in pain.
That's called frame dragging. And to get even deeper, frame dragging causes something called an ergosphere. An ergosphere, basically, like, so space and time start rotating, and that creates a chaotic whirlpool that makes everything move with it. So space and time start dragging. And when space drags, anything that's in that space also drags and spins around. But what's interesting is that if the ergosphere gets fast enough, this is past, by the way, the past the event horizon, objects can move fast enough to escape the black hole.
But is it worth it at that point?
Apparently, I don't know. And it's not faster than the speed of light, because light can't escape black holes. But if they get caught in this ergosphere, it's called, they can. Like quantum things, like protons, whatever. And it takes some of the energy of the black hole with it. So the ergosphere happens, and it starts ejecting shit called, they're called Hawking radiation.
Shouldn't it be called the ejectosphere then?
Nope, ergosphere.
No, but it should be called ejecto if it's ejecting things. I feel like I should be in charge of naming things.
Exactly. I don't need to know what it means. Like, if you can just give me a third grade baseline, I will name things. And it's called Hawking radiation. And it's basically, have you ever seen those like pictures of black holes where it has like this stream of like jet going, like the jet stream going out of the center of it?
Sure.
Like pictures, like dramatizations.
Yeah, like on the sides of wizard fans.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I don't know, you see like the whole like storm around it, and then like the center, there's like light, it looks like shooting straight out of it. That's called Hawking radiation, and that's because of the ergosphere. Because no, things cannot escape, except they can. And you know what those particles are? Quantumly entangled. One of the particles escapes, and the other one doesn't. Did you understand what I just said about quantum particles? Because I didn't. But guess what? I'm going to teach you about it. So, I'm glad you asked. Black holes can evaporate. Goodbye. They are surrounded by streams of gas and dust. A circle into the hole like water going down the drain, like in Flushed Away. Friction creates heat, which creates a churning storm-like structure called the ergosphere. They just found that sometimes it can create a fountain shooting straight out of it called Hawking radiation, and that's things escaping. And they say that with that, subatomic particles, right?
Yeah.
You know, subatomic particles.
Yeah, things smaller than atoms, easy. Yeah.
Yeah, quarks and whatever. According to theory, they just blink in and out of existence. Just whatever. And they're in pairs. They're just in pairs, blinking in and out of existence. Sometimes they exist, sometimes they don't. Casual shit.
I wish I could do that.
Sometimes their configurations and how they blink in and out of existence makes it so that one of the pairs of things that are smaller than atoms who can blink in and out of existence goes into the black hole and the other one doesn't. They get irreversibly separated, which through another theory, which we'll talk about when you're my space girlfriend, is called entanglement, and that those two bits are always connected, even if they're not together. Everything's entangled.
But okay, how do we know that these things are blinking in and out of existence if we can't see them?
How do we know what existence is? Also, super random, but you know how they say space is expanding?
Yeah, eventually it'll collapse back in on itself.
What is it expanding into?
I want to know. What are we expanding into? How can we expand?
What would happen if I could get... So, like, the universe is expanding, and it's basically expending its energy, doing it. And eventually, that energy that it's expending will be so stretched out that will cause the heat death of the universe. There's not enough heat to fill the circle that is the dome. Yeah. So then it will be like, oops, too much. And just collapse in on itself and create another big bang. If I could theoretically go fast enough, what's on the other edge? What is it expanding into?
Is that where the alternate realities are?
That's where God is. The universe is gentrifying heaven. Soon enough, oh no! Honestly, they had the Black Hole Council. They're like, do you think that heaven could use a Starbucks? What if there's like a little bit of, I don't know, like a boutique?
What if we put like a Dunkin', but like a standalone at this one corner?
Yes, I know it's heaven, but yes, they will have to pay for their drinks.
And we're going to put an Applebee's.
By the way, this is all being said to Gabriel, God, Jesus, Peter.
All of them.
You know, the biblically accurate angels, which is just a conglomeration of eyes and wings and body parts. Anyways, so black holes, which make just about as much sense as the universe expanding into nothing in gentrified heaven. So the subatomic particles, they split up, you know, real sad love story. But when the one gets sucked into the black hole, the other one is very upset about it. And you know what it does? Shoots the fuck out of the black hole the other way and leaves the event horizon. This is happening within the spot that nothing can return. And then they just blink in and out of existence that the black hole steals one away. And as their fingertips and their hands finally separate, it shoots at incredibly high speed the other way, breaks physics, and watches its friend, its lover, disintegrate in the midst of the black hole. And because if you've ever taken a fifth grade science class, energy is mass. Can't create or destroy energy. I mean, apparently black holes just do whatever the fuck they want, but that's the rule they choose to decide to listen to. As these little baby yearning lovers, as it shoots out, it also takes some energy with it. It causes the black hole to shrink, because when you remove energy, you also remove mass. Hee-hee. Figure that one out. That's the one that makes the most sense. Like, on a grander level, it doesn't. I'm not, like, it doesn't make sense. But it's the easiest to visualize in a funny way, even though fundamentally, it does not make sense. You can't escape an event horizon. That's, like, the whole fucking thing. Unless you're horny enough and watch your lover die? Whatever. That's theory number one. We have five more. What happens when you're falling in? So most of these next ones are actually like linked together, so it's not as like a long-winded as you think. We're going to tell the story of Kevin and Nora going on a space date. So this is straight from a BBC article, which is the most read story on BBC Earth in 2015. Kevin and Nora go on a little space date. We're in space, just two podcast hosts. I and Nora are holding hands, and oh no, a black hole. Aw, he got me. Crazy.
Bye.
The laws of physics don't make sense anymore. That's a given. The intro to this is that the instant you entered the black hole, reality splits in two. One of my realities, I would be instantly incinerated, turned to ash. And the other one, I would just be completely unharmed, absolutely vibing. Given that you could survive, you know, in space, in a black hole, the Hawking radiation doesn't rip you limb from limb, you know, etc.
We as podcast hosts can survive in the vacuum of space.
We are nothing like y'all. So we're holding hands. Kevin starts floating away. Nora tries to grab my hand. It doesn't, but she's not going to risk her shit. She watches me go towards the black hole, but she remains outside. You know, I just got a little too adventurous and I start getting sucked in.
So I don't get yeeted at this point?
Nope, you're just watching. You're just sitting there vibing. I got a little too adventurous and fell off a cliff, but the cliff is physics absolutely being destroyed. So you, Nora, from where your perspective is, through the eyes of Nora, I start to stretch and contort. It's called spaghettification. She watches me, my body, not gruesomely, but my body physically turns into spaghetti. It's as if they can take my body and stretch it like taffy and keep going and going and going. It says, what's weird though, is from Nora's perspective, the closer I get to the center, the slower I move. So she's watching me turn into spaghetti, but as I get turned into more spaghetti, I slow down. And then, let's say, theoretically, I try to shout, but obviously, there's no air. So I can't scream, but I do have my handy-dandy Tim Cook-approved iPhone. And I, being so smart, am going to flash her a little Morse code. Let's say I flash you the words, all right, in Morse code. I'm like, hey, Nora, help me. I'm getting sucked into a black hole. As I start to do this, even though I'm not changing the speed, you will see my words slowly and slowly, the light flashes get farther and farther apart and slower until they freeze. I will reach the event horizon. So when I reach the actual event horizon, this wasn't even in the horizon. This is just me getting close, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once I get to the event horizon, I get paused. It's like the Adam Sandler shows up and hit pause on me from your perspective. I stop moving. I'm noodle. I'm spaghetti. Just chilling. I don't exist. You watch me frozen in midair. And then you watch the heat and the fire just consume me. And I'm slowly obliterated. While I am not moving, you watch me just slowly disintegrate and be ripped apart. But I don't move and turn to ash. And then, before I can even stop being seen, I'm just a fine, fine ash. Now let's shift the camera, like The Office, into what I'm experiencing. You know what I'm experiencing? None of that. I'm good. Nothing happened.
You're just vibing.
I go straight in there. I don't feel pain. I don't get torn apart. I don't stretch. I don't get spaghettied. I'm just in free fall. And this is what Einstein calls his happiest thought. It's not, so the event horizon's not like a brick wall defined place. It's a matter of perspective. All black holes are is it fucks with your perspective in time. That's why they say black holes bend time. Because the event horizon's not like a membrane, like people have said. It is, but from our perspective. But it's not true from the person who is getting into the membrane. I'm just chilling. I'm just free falling. I'm just like floating like I got kicked out of Among Us. Like I got kicked out. I'm just floating, free falling, having a good time. There's no horizon from my perspective, just whatever. If the black hole is big enough, I could just be a normal person, live out the rest of my life. Obviously floating in space, not able to escape it, but like, yeah. You would see me get turned to ash, but I would just be chilling, living life, eating pasta, just being Miley. If it was smaller, then obviously the gravity like at my feet would be stronger than my head. It would stretch me out. But if it's big enough, whatever. Nothing happens. So the way that we perceive time is that it only goes forward and it never goes backwards and we can't stop it. But physically, it's not just an analogy. It says black holes physically warp that. Like that, if we could take that and turn it into a real thing, which it is, black holes take that and just like fuck it up. You can't escape it, but also it's like time. So it's like you perceiving me. It, the time is what's pulling me towards a singularity, and I can't escape it because I can't turn time backwards. But like literally the article then says, at this point, you might want to stop and ask yourself a question. What the fuck is wrong with Anne? If you're chilling inside the black hole, surrounded by nothing weirder than just empty space, why is she insisting I've been burned to a crisp? Is she hallucinating? No, my dear listeners, she's not. From her point of view, you've been really burned to a crisp at the horizon. It's not an illusion. She could even, if there was a way that she could physically collect my ashes and bring them back home and have a funeral. While my perception, I'm still chilling. She could physically have them and bring them with her. Anytime I said Anne, replace it with Nora. Here is my dead boyfriend. She's not my girlfriend, but in this theory, let me live. She could say, look, here's my dead space husband, and hold a funeral with a vial full of my ashes. But from my perspective, Nora just like fucking abandoned me and I can't go see her. So you can't go backwards in time. And that's why you can't escape it, from what I'm gathering.
So you can escape like the gravity and all that shit, but it's the time.
You can't, because it's all one and the same. So, to make it even a little more spicy, the laws of physics basically state that I have to be both outside of the black hole in a pile of ashes and inside the black hole alive and well. And also, there's a third law of physics that says information can't be cloned. That makes sense. Like, you cannot clone information.
Yes.
Like, even if you clone something, it's still not the exact same thing. Like, it is, but it isn't.
Like, yeah, apparently, like Dolly the sheep.
Yeah, it's not the exact same in quantum mechanics.
Yeah, genetically the same. Yeah,
but like quantumly, you cannot clone two pieces of quantum mechanics, which I'm just going to say the word quantum and it makes it make sense, I guess. So there's something called the black hole information paradox, which basically states that, like, oh, it makes no sense. So the information paradox is that you can't clone information. However, it would be cloning information if Nora has my ashes and I am still there. You can't do that because it's two separate, like, you can't have my ashes if they're not my ashes. You know what I mean? If I'm not ashes, but you have them, that it doesn't work. That's basically what the information paradox is. But there was a guy who said, no, there is no paradox because it's all a matter of perception. No one could ever see me again. If you're outside of the black hole, you're never going to be able to see me because, you know, black holes, whatever.
Would you be able to see out though?
So I can only see me too. Like, I can't see out, you can't see in.
Okay.
So even if you could collect my physical ashes that you're seeing, me and Nora could never compare. I'm not ashes, you are ashes. I am ashes. We could never compare that because we physically cannot ever be together again because of the way that gravity and time and space works in a black hole. So it doesn't break the law of physics because the law of physics states that it's all based on perspective. Are you really dead? Are you really alive? Is the cat dead? Is the cat alive?
Schrodinger's Kevin.
What?
Schrodinger's Kevin. Because I was going to say, if you could still see out, and like now I'm aware of this information, so if it ever happens to us, I can at least like drive by my little rocket ship and be like, oh, hi, Kevin. I know you're dead, but you're not.
Yeah. Like, you could know that reality split, but you physically could not know reality. Like, you could not perceive that we are in different realities, but you could know. Like, you could go by a rocket ship and be like, hi, alternate Kevin. I know you're still in there, but I can never see you and you could never see me or perceive me.
Can I throw food into the black hole for you then?
Because that would, I don't know. Because,
like, I'll go swing by fantasy Bojangles or science space Bojangles, Spojangles.
If you do that, would that be crossing realities?
See, that's the thing, because, like, I wouldn't want you to starve in there. So then I would toss in, you know, some chicken, and, like, the concept then would apply to that as well, though, right?
Because you would watch the chicken be dissolved.
But you would get the chicken.
But in reality, I would catch it like I'm Stitch eating a sandwich, or the guy from Stitch eating a sandwich.
Yes.
Like, you throw it in, and I'd be like, oh, cool, piece of chicken.
Yeah.
Not knowing, I know it was from you, but I couldn't perceive you doing it. I can't see anything outside of the black hole. But you would see the chicken disintegrate, turn to ash, and you could collect that chicken and bring it back and put it in my urn that is very much real and full of my ashes. But I would just be sitting there enjoying it.
Hey, what would happen if I sent you your own ashes?
Nora. I don't know, because theoretically, if you couldn't collect my ashes, so anything past that, all of this is theory.
Yeah.
Let's make that very clear.
Yeah.
But that's a theory of a theory. But if you would send me my own ashes, I think the universe would take a screenshot. I don't know.
I feel like everything would pause for a second and God would appear and he'd be like, so how did you do that?
God would say, huh, you really said bull prop testing cheats enabled true, didn't you?
But
I bet you're wondering how I got in this situation.
But now that I have this information, I can also keep you up to date on meme culture. I could send you a record player and a portable generator and Taylor Swift's new albums. Like,
so you want to know what makes it even worse? Is the further we go, the further deranged it gets. Because then it says, what if there was a way to see on the other side of that event horizon without actually crossing it? So all that stuff we said, it's like, okay, so let's take the theory of the theory of the theory. What if Nora could view into my little world? You know what Einstein called this theory? The first one, where I'm alive, is called, he called it officially, the happiest thought. That's the official name. Would you like to guess what he calls using quantum mechanics to see the alternate reality of me in a black hole without actually entering it? Would you like to take a stab? Spooky action at a distance.
I love this man's mind.
So this states, when two things, two particles, two sets of particles, like we talked about, the estranged lovers, quantum particles,
yeah,
they are entangled. So it says that these particles, even if they're separated, they're still connected because they are part of a whole. So even if they're separated, they're still quantumly connected because the information needed to even describe the particles can't be found in either particle alone. It has to be together. So it's saying that these particles, which is smaller than atoms and then are linked by things smaller than the things that are smaller than atoms, are connected. That's what Taylor Swift wrote Invisible String about in Folklore with quantum mechanics. So this is getting even fucking crazier, but we're gonna theorize this. I'm so sorry it's long. Let's say Nora grabs a bit of information near the horizon, and we'll call it A. Right? You grab it, you hold on to a piece of information, whatever you want to say information is. If your story is right, Nora's story, I'm scrambled, ash gone, but outside of the black hole, my everything about me is scrambled amongst the Hawking radiation, making me Swiss cheese outside of the black hole. The piece of information that she grabbed has to be entangled with another piece of information, right? Because, you know, everything's connected. Which is also part of outside of the black hole. Those pieces are connected. So if you can grab something, like just whatever they want to say information is, if you could grab a particle outside of the event horizon and your story of me being absolutely fucking incinerated is true, it states, I know I'm like, I don't really get it, but it's like still an interesting theory. So if that piece of particle that you grabbed, since that's only... it's not like the whole piece, it's only a half, that has to be entangled with something else. And since you saw me get incinerated, like it has to be outside of the black hole. Because, you know, from your perspective, anything that goes into a black hole is destroyed. So the quantum entanglement can't be with something inside of the black hole. Because, you know, that would be destroyed and that doesn't work. But it says that if my story is true, where I'm alive and just chilling, eating chicken... then A, the information you have has to be entangled with something different, which is inside of the black hole because of perspective. Black holes, we know they exist, but everything that I have learned about them and everything that we know is that, hey, everything we've ever learned about black holes actually break everything we have ever decided about physics and space and theory and atoms and particles, all of it. We know black holes exist. We know these laws of physics exist. We have never observed anything that breaks these laws. They're laws. They're fundamental laws. But theoretically, because of things that we've observed and things that we've done, black holes break all of them. And all of the answers to all of these like hypotheticals I'm giving you is, I don't know. Literally, we don't know. We've spent more than a century trying to figure it out. Einstein doesn't know. In conclusion, about this whole little space lovers paradox, black holes are proof that two separate realities exist. And we can split realities. And reality is nothing but what we perceive. You remember that despair you made me feel a couple days ago? Are you regretting it? Alternate realities exist because of black holes.
I really just want to know now what would happen if I sent you your own ashes.
I wanted, I swear to God, the universe would take a screenshot. That's what happens. It's like literally like, have you seen Black Mirror?
Yeah, I've seen most of it.
Have you seen the one where they're in the dating app, where they're dating, like it's a dating app?
Yes.
And they finally figure out it's a virtual world. And as soon as they figure out it's a virtual world, it's like, congrats, you figured it out. Like that. That's what happens. If you send me my own ashes, you become too metacognitively aware. And the universe like pauses and you see fucking Morgan Freeman from Bruce Almighty.
But I wonder how it would feel though to like receive your own ashes. You're like, oh, I'm dead, but I'm
not. It
wouldn't
feel because it couldn't happen, but it could. Theoretically, it couldn't, but it also maybe could, because what I'm perceiving is that my ashes don't exist, so they can't exist to me. What you're perceiving is that they do exist. So if you try to send me my own ashes, I would not receive them, because in my perception, that thing doesn't exist.
Yeah, but see, now that we've had this conversation, though, if this ever happened, you would know that it was possible, and you would be
that's
expecting
what I'm saying.
To receive is your that, ashes.
And that's what I'm saying about all of this. Not to sound like a fucking psychotic, crazy person, but like, now that we know this, if you send me the piece of chicken, in my reality, a piece of chicken just appears. But I would know that it's from you.
Yes.
And you would see me die, but you would know that I'm not dead. What happens then? If you have the information that, oh no, he's just alive in another reality. I'll never be able to experience it because I can't perceive that, but I know.
See, but then I'd be caught up in this dilemma of being your space spouse of like, do I go in after him or do I stay out here and supply him with
because
like
you
food
know
and entertainment?
If you go
like,
in,
one way train now of like.
But if you go in, would that create a third reality? Because you have witnessed me be ripped apart. It's not like it's a portal where you can just cross the barrier and oops, there I am. It's like if you go in to the black hole, I'm not there because I'm dead. We could be. Does that mean we could be in the same place in space in time? Overlapping, like we're different save files.
But then would you get the chicken then if I sent, or would that end up in its own separate chicken reality?
It would end up in its own separate chicken reality because I could not perceive anything from outside my reality.
Unless you
I could not,
unless you know though, but then you have that perception.
But if I know.
Because that's my thing too, of like if I jump in, what I've perceived is that you've disintegrated, but what I know is that you haven't, so that perception is false, but it's not.
Exactly. And it's like, is perception, and that brings up an actually, I know we're kind of goofing, but also kind of not.
Yeah.
Brings up an interesting reality question of like, what is perception? Is perception a physical thing? Because what I'm getting of this is like, you know, perception is like with your eyes and your senses.
Fucks me up because we don't know if we're seeing the same colors. Like we think we are.
Oh, don't even get me started
but
on
that.
That
shit fucks me
is
up.
Is my blue your blue? And you just learned. And that's why people have different favorite colors. Everyone has the same favorite color. We all just call it a different thing. Period.
All colors are the same.
All colors are the exact fucking same. We are all just perceiving them differently. But is perception a physical thing? Where it's like, no matter what you think, you cannot perceive outside of this. You know, like it's a metacognition of like, you know, perception is wrong because you're perceiving it as I'm ash, I'm dust, I'm dead.
Yeah.
But even if you know that's wrong, it's like perception is like a physical, tangible thing that you cannot change.
Also, what happens if you die in that alternate reality? Like, I'm assuming you would eventually starve.
If the black hole is small enough, I would just get spaghettified in my own alternate reality. Like, you would see me die, but I'd be alive, and then I would actually die. But if the black hole is big enough, it literally said that I could just live out my life. You know, this is suspending a lot of belief.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously I can't live in a black hole. I can't live in space.
Yeah.
But if you could, and you could somehow not have to eat, not have to drink, you could live just a normal life. Floating through in free fall. I would feel like I'm in free fall because gravity doesn't exist, but it does, was another thing I didn't really get.
I just want to know then, like, what if you have like the theory for the most generation ships where like it can sustain multiple generations of people?
Mm-hmm.
You got one of those bad boys. You go into a super massive black hole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Does everything in that ship included go into the same alternate reality, or does each piece go into its own?
If you all go in at the same time, is what you're asking?
Yeah, because like you've got this ship, and so obviously the front part of it is, from the outside perspective, going to disintegrate before the back end of it.
So there's actually a really interesting theory about. You know what would be really cool, Nora? Cut this down, and then we could release this as a bonus episode.
That's what I've been thinking, because we're about to hit 2 hours.
I saw this theory, and it's from a guy on TikTok, and like, TikTok, but it's like an actual thought experiment. It's like two light. It's like, okay, so if it's a train that's moving at the speed of light, I am at the back of the train, you are at the front of the train. So the front, you know, it's moving towards you.
Yeah.
We both turn on the lights at the same time. Like we say 3, 2, 1, I turn on my light bulb, you turn on your light bulb. What light turns on first? Because if we're moving at the speed of light, like the way, you know, the lines thing, and the answer is based on where your perspective is. It's like if you are outside of the train and you could somehow see this, it would be both lights turn on at the same time. But if you're inside the train, one of them turns on before the other one, even if they were done at the exact same time, because it's based on perspective. Mm-hmm. And both are true and equal and valid. So it's like if we're inside the ship, if I'm like, if my ass has like, if I'm just not facing the front of the ship, do I get to go with the special universe of all my friends? Like if I just don't watch them disintegrate, like I don't see it, so it doesn't real.
Yeah. What if I'm blindfolded so I don't see you get disintegrated?
That's not all perception is. That's what it fucks me up, because because obviously if you close your eyes, it's not going to change anything.
No.
So it's like perception is a tangible, but that's what it is, because like that makes the question, what is perception? And it's almost like perception in this context is not just your senses feeling it, but an actual physical tangible thing of like a timeline.
Yeah,
of like you can't change.
Like even if you don't see it happen, something happened.
It still happened in your frame of reference, whether you actually saw it and were there for it or not.
So like, I can't perceive the Himalayans. That does not mean that they don't exist.
Yes. You could be blind, deaf, and dumb and have no senses at all, and it still would not change the reality you're in, I think. Theoretically. I was going to talk about white holes. But honestly, to sum that up in 10 seconds, we don't think it exists. It's the opposite of a black hole, where instead of sucking everything in, it pushes things out. And we don't think it really exists, but theoretically they do, like everything else with black holes. Surprise, bitch. That's it.
But how would a white hole work? Because you would have to have the energy and force to push stuff out.
That's what they're saying. Like, I know black holes break every law known to man ever, but they're saying like white holes even more so. Like, listen, black holes do some wild shit. But it's not wild. White holes are so wild that they're like, black holes don't compare. So they're like, theoretically, a white hole could exist, but like, black holes are already crazy enough. They think white holes are like too crazy.
Because we haven't seen a black hole die. Because like, the universe just hasn't gotten to that point, as I understand.
Maybe? I don't know. It's expanding into nothing, so who can say?
Who knows? So what are the chances that when a black hole, you know, dies, air quotes, it turns into a white hole and just everything? Well,
the thing is, though, I think that like the evaporation was like the most concrete, because they know like Hawking radiation is not a theory. A lot of this was fake theories. Hawking radiation is not a theory. Hawking radiation exists.
Okay.
But that means that black holes, which are known as, you know, nothing can escape, things can escape, because particles do, because the lover particles get split up. And they also know that like when those particles leave, it causes energy to do that, which means that mass has to go with it. So they know that black holes can evaporate. It's theory. It's technically theory, but that's the one that makes like the most sense.
Yeah.
That they can't evaporate. But like what happened? Where do they go? I know it's like radiation, but like, where does a black hole go? You're telling me that all of a sudden it can bend space and fucking time, but all of a sudden it can just disappear because some particles got overzealous and just like left? I don't know. We need to wrap this up because it's 2 hours.
Yeah.
Remember, like I've said multiple times, remember that whole like, you know, dread, anger, despair, grief I felt about dolphins? And I said, you're going to feel this about black holes. And no one believed me. I heard you all laughing in your cars on the way to work and said, huh, black holes. What could be crazy about that? Do you regret it? Nora, do you regret saying that?
No, I find this shit fascinating. Like, I'm terrified of space very deeply to my core. I'm just a little meat person. That's a vacuum that will kill me in seconds.
Yes.
It's fascinating.
That's why we talked about it. That's why we talked about it for 2+ hours.
Oh, I know. Oh my God. Hey everyone, Nora here. Thank you so much for joining us for this bonus episode. We hope to have an episode out for you next Tuesday, so we are back on schedule. In the meantime, you can keep up with us on Twitter at useless_podcast, and you can also send us all your questions, comments, suggestions, and fun facts to uselessthepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much, and stay useless.